I'm going to be talking about a research project that is out of San Francisco Chinatown. My co-author here, Mary Minkler, is here. We're going to be discussing the project. And what I've done is, I'm not going to discuss with you the results of the project. As what I have here is on the seats there, you have a report, an executive summary of that, and you can look at that in terms of if you want to know what we found. I'll just do a little bit of snippet. And this is another handout that's in that. This will discuss the survey that we conducted with the workers, and this will discuss results from an observations of 106 out of 108 restaurants that were inspected by the public health department. So this project addresses the issues of low-wage immigrant workers in San Francisco Chinatown, it took about it was a 7-year project. And the beginning was in terms of the workers themselves saying, we want to be able to talk about the issues that we face as residents and workers in the community, and that being issues of low wages and other violations. And then another 2 years of conversations with the community organization staff and the board in terms of, well, what can that look like? Bringing in Dr. Mary Minkler and others into the conversation, and together being able to craft, but it was initiated from the community in terms of doing some kind of a survey that involves the workers and their voice, and that this effort really provide them with a foundation for them to go out and embark on social change and address issues of policies that are available to them but are not really enforced, and other things as a result of what they'll find. So a little bit in terms of, see, I drank way too much coffee this morning. Okay, so what happened? So this, in terms of a photo that is and that was on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle, and it's titled Chinatown Family Life, What the Tourists Don't See. And this is a member of our community organization. He works in a restaurant, and he was owed several months back pay. The community group organized around what was going on and finally won. Through that whole process, when a reporter said, well, I'd really like to do a story on this, most people would say, oh, I don't want my picture shown, I don't want to tell my story. But through this whole process, he says, yes, I will talk about my life. And here he is shown carrying his father up 3 flights of floors to their apartment. They live in a single room occupancy, which is typical of what we'll find. 35% of the restaurant workers live in single room occupancy, where you share a small room with your family and share a bathroom and a kitchen with other families on that floor, up to 10 families maybe. 80% of these workers do not speak little or no English. That they are middle age, around 44 years old. That about 44% of these workers are citizens. The other have immigrated to the US in the last 6 years. 73% support families. They have children. Their children do their homework in the hallways. So who are the project partners? The project partners include the community-based organization, the Chinese Progressive Association, university, the academic partners at the School of Public Health, and also UCSF School of Medicine and LOHP, and then the Department of Public Health. And what? Well, and then what were the different roles that they played. From the university, Dr. Minkler was the PI. Dr. Krauss was our epidemiologist. He was super there and with the workers in Chinatown, going over all of the different questions. Dr. Alicia Salvatore was our analysis. With Dr. Krauss, we had Dr. Chang, now Dr. Chang, who got her wrote her dissertation on this and was our evaluator. And then Dr. Rajiv Bhatia and others from his staff were from the Public Health Department, and what they did was to mobilize volunteers from their food safety department to go into all the restaurants and conduct a integrate questions of workplace health and safety hazards into their food safety inspection. Really tremendous results, and we hope we can really follow up on this. And then key that anchored down this was the project partners from the community. The executive directors would attend our steering committees as well as the lead organizer on this. And for a while, the field person who was monolingual was attending this these sessions. But discussing budgets and academic papers and things like that wasn't really a good use of her time. We learned this in terms of equality and participation through this process. Project partners that were not there or missing were business and restaurant associations, but they are in our future. And I'll talk to you about that later. I want to tell you in terms of as academics or those who are conducting research with the community, this slide here shows a little bit in terms of some of the conditions that this community group was dealing with, where they are outside of a restaurant, raising this issues of labor violation abuse during a banquet. I'm a Lee. And this was the Lee Family Association banquet. Caused a terrible uproar. The manager, she's a Lee, and she came out and started screaming and yelling and pushing workers and called the police and different things like that. That's kind of like a little bit of a snapshot of what it looked like. But this gives an illustration of the kinds of work the community groups need to do to be able to give voice to the workers. And those are the kind of groups you want to look for in doing this kind of research. In terms of wage theft, it's about $8 million a year annually in terms of lost wages that should be going into the pockets of the workers. Investigation results, I've given you the pamphlet, but these are some of the different components of the results that we found. Sherry and others have explained already, this is just the pictures of some of the work things that we did of involving the workers in the development of the survey to doing a recruitment plan for getting workers to take the survey, conducting the interviews, workers being trained to be peer interviewers, analysis of the data, they were engaged in that, the dissemination of the findings, and then they're at this place in terms of taking the research into action. I want to just say in a day you'll have about 1,800 to 2,000 restaurant workers in those six blocks, and our goal was we want this the survey results to be solid, to really reflect what was going on in those six blocks. So we set a goal of 400 surveys. This survey had 103 questions. So I asked the workers, which 103 of these do you want to take out? Because they were engaged in this, because they identified what they wanted to know, they said every single one has to stay. So I said, then you need to come up with a plan, because we said 400 workers. And that was the importance of engaging them, and they developed the plan, and actually 500 workers walked through the doors to fill out the survey. This is what I wanted to share in terms of working with a community-based group that wants to, that where a participatory research is to give them voice. This is a reflection of the various components that you should be aware of in terms of your engagement with them and respect and honoring their kinds of work and how your work can feed into that. On the other hand, you as an academic, when you're looking for community groups, these are some of the components you want to see. Do they have the capacity to carry out these various elements? Is there a desire for them to engage in these particulars? Main theory foundation has been already expressed here. When workers, through this whole process, they were out there, even though the results weren't out yet, and all that, they were at City Hall testifying. They were engaged in meetings. This picture here, this is a delegation to a restaurant owner. You know which one is the restaurant owner, right? Man in the pink, he has in his hands 10 months of bounce checks. The community group is avoiding going through a filing official minimum wage violations because it can take up to 2 years for them to see the money. So what this group does instead is delegate the employer right there. I have some wonderful video. So here is in terms of some of the in terms of the workshops and the having the capacity and resources that these workshops, the agendas and everything are in two languages. It means a lot of pre-thought and a lot of resources going into making sure that materials that you provide there, they're in the different languages. All the props, everything is done way ahead. Data analysis, this is a little bit of a snapshot on how I organized the data analysis. Just a little thing in terms of how the worker input. One of the questions says about yelling. Are you yelled at, scolded or yelled at work? And here is Dr. Mary and folks there and the workers discussing issues. The result was 46% said that they were yelled and scolded at work. And then the worker said, that's low. Their numbers was much higher, and there was a whole discussion about this. And then finally, one of the women said, I understand. She says, we are yelled at and screamed at every single day, but the 46% is at the point where you want to cry, where it breaks you. And and everybody goes, do you agree? She looked, do you agree? And everybody goes, that's it. And so when you have the worker meetings and people come to the meetings and they share this data, they ask, is that it? You know, and then they say, oh yes, that's it. Here is in terms of dissemination of data, this is the Mary and others up at the top. The workers chaired and did the press conference. 160 people came. We had all the major mainstream and ethnic press. Out of 10 boards of supervisors, that's our politicians, we had four there that came. And the one that represent that neighborhood looked at the results and he said, oh my God. And he on TV, he said, these results are criminal. We took the results here as a meeting of seven Chinatowns. We went to Detroit to the US Social Forum, and seven Chinatowns from across the country met, and we shared all of the things that we do. Very powerful, from Boston to LA, from Chicago down to Houston, powerful. And here the other meeting is our worker center meeting with Latino workers from New Orleans. And they shared with us what happens to restaurant workers, Asian restaurant workers. Okay, 3 days after the press release, this was the response from the Chinatown Chamber of Commerce, that the findings were irresponsible, that it was a racist report, the methodology was flawed, and that this woman was going to file personally a complaint against the misuse of our tax dollars. And she chewed out every single board of supervisors that came to the meeting and told them, you will never be elected again. So that's what we deal with in the community. Here are some of the key recommendations coming out of this. The fourth one, creation of a city guide to good businesses, that comes from the workers' analysis of the data. And they were saying there are high road employers and then there are low road employers. And there are a whole bunch of employers that just don't know what the heck to do. And so to be able to address that, and also a creation of some kind of guide. I have to finish now. So here are some terms of challenges that we faced in terms of working on this, and I can discuss those later with you. And here is one of our worker leaders, a quote that she had at the beginning of doing this, about 3 years ago, when I talked to the workers and we talk about what's going on, their main thing is, why do you do this? Well, I do this to help others, but I just don't think anything is going to change. Well, now, when you ask, why do you do this? I do this for me and my family and our community, and through this, I can see the change is possible. So that's it. Thank you.
Question for Pam?
Well, Sherry is actually going to help me on that.
We have a project to follow up on this. We have developed this project about how can you get restaurant inspectors to give out information about safety and health. And so we're doing a pilot following up on this project, but the idea is to develop materials, and we want to work with other health departments.
Great, though. Great. I've tried to get burn information, LaTeX, years ago, LaTeX, you know, just one slide from the team. We're all so busy.
They're so busy. Exactly right. It added about another 20 minutes to their inspection, and that's a lot of time.
Great.
I don't remember if you mentioned it, but Pam was just the person who made this whole thing happen. I know you didn't say that. But the checklist is on the website of the Department of Public Health, and my feeling is we should be going to progressive health department directors that we know and saying, is there any way you can incentivize or encourage, we know their job is already backbreaking, but is there anything we could do that might interest them in adding this 20 minutes?
One more quick question?
This is important. This is a celebration
We have to celebrate. So let's hear about that.
We asked them. They all got stipends, but they pulled together some of their stipends so that they could go on a field trip together. And none of them had ever seen a redwood tree.
Oh my gosh.
So we went, and one of the women here was in tears. We walked in the water together, and she was crying. She said, "I have never breathe such clean air or water, and this is the first time in 10 years I've stepped foot out of Chinatown."
Thank you.